books, and I'm also going to read some new things. I don't know how many poets there are in the room. I imagine quite a few. And I find this phenomenon to be the case where the most recent five things that I've written are like the most brilliant five things I've ever written. And everything else is like, oh yeah, I wrote that too. You know. So I'm gonna read some new stuff because it's very exciting to me. This first poem is called Vines. There are fat, wet vines creeping into my house through the pipes and through the walls, gentle as blue flames. They curl into my living. There is ice in my attic, sugar on my tile. I am present and useless, like a nose torn from a face and set in a bowl. When I saw God, I used the wrong pronouns. God bricked up my mouth hole. His fists were white as gold. There were roaches in my beard. Now I live like a widow every day, a heave of knitting patterns and sex toys. My family speaks of me with such pride. Yuneshu Rogan, they say. His bread is in oil. I thank them for that and for their chromosomes, most of which have been lovely. I am lovely too. My body is hard and choked with juice like a plastic throat stuffed with real grapes. My turn-ons include Ovid and fake leather. My turn-offs have all been ushered into the basement. I'll drink to them and to any victory. The vines are all growing toward the foot of my bed. I am waiting for them to come under the covers. I am the only person still in this house. There is no one here to look away. I feel like now we're in this like weird, like guilty liminal space between a clapping audience and like a silent reverent audience. Feel free to just do whatever comes natural. This is a newer little. This is like the day after Valentine's Day, like one day too late for love. But this is a love poem. It's called "For You I've Started Sleeping." For you, I've started sleeping again. I'm bad company when I don't, though so much more productive. It's not the sleep by mind, it's the waking. Always such a startle, like finding a drifter in your kitchen cooking your eggs, which actually happened. I ate them with him. We listened to records. Even the best places are crawling with people. Tell them to stop at once. Remind them their oblivions are incompatible with ours. The body is a glass orchard, or at least yours is, every part blooming and breakable. Would it really be so bad if I loved you for your beauty? There are worse reasons to love a thing, because it's hungry, for instance, or lost in space. You are exhausting the messenger. I will make no more resolutions. Reproducible joy is hardly joy at all. I can be louder than any bird, and redder too. Watch, and you'll see. I'll show you a boron. I dog-eared as a boy, but never red. I'll take you to the closet where I kept ounces of dead dragonflies piled up for a rainy day. Did I say ounces? I meant gallons. I meant years. You are going to love it, my sweet, elegant Gasper. I promise you will never want to leave. My first language was Farsi, but when we came to America, my family aggressively stopped speaking it in the household, and so consequentially, I speak about as much Farsi today as a 2.5-year-old, which is a weird thing. This poem is about that. It's called "Do You Speak Persian?" Some days we can see Venus in mid-afternoon. Then, at night, stars separated by billions of miles. Light traveling years to die in the back of an eye. Is there a vocabulary for this? One to make dailiness amplify and not diminished wonder. I've been so careless with the words I already have. I don't remember how to say home in my first language, or lonely, or light. I remember only the lembrat and shode. I miss you, and shabbat. Good night. How's school going, Kavajun? The lembrat and shode. Are you still drinking? Shabbat. For so long, every step I've taken has been from one tongue to another. To order the world, I need, you need, he, she, it needs. The rest left to a hungry jackal in the back of my brain. Right now, our moon looks like a pale cabbage rose. The lembrat and shode. We are forever folding into the night. Shabbat. Anyways, I grew up largely in the Midwest when we came to America. And as you can imagine, it was difficult to find restaurants in the Midwest that corresponded with my particular ethnic loadout. And so we would take these sort of like once a year family treks into Chicago when we were living in Milwaukee or when we were living in rural Indiana. We would go into Chicago to go to this restaurant called Reza's Restaurant, which was like the only Persian food that, you know, we could find anywhere. And it was great. And it was like, I would look forward to it for weeks in advance. And I was like, I would like know what I was going to order that time, like a week in it, you know. So this poem's about that. It's called Reza's Restaurant, Chicago, 1997. The waiters milled about, filling sumac shakers, clearing away plates of onion and radish. My father pointed to each person, whispered, Persian, about the old man with the silver beard, whispered, Arab, about the woman with the eyeball, Persian, the teenager pouring water, white, the man on the phone. I was 8 and watching and amazed. I asked how he could possibly tell when they were all dark-skinned, brown-haired like us, almost everyone in the restaurant looked like us. He smiled a proud little smile, a warm nest of lips, said, it's easy. Said, we're just uglier. He returned to his lamp, but I was baffled, hardly touched my payment. I had huge glasses and bad teeth. I felt plenty Persian. When the woman with light eyes and blonde brown hair left our check, my father looked at me. I said, Arab? He shook his head, laughed. We drove home. I grew up. It took years to put together what my father meant that day. My father, who listened exclusively to the Rolling Stones, who called the Beatles a band for girls. My father, who wore only black even around the house, whose arms could cut chicken wire and make stew and bulged with old farm scars. My father built the world. The first sound I ever heard was his voice whispering the azan in my right ear. I didn't need anything else. My father cherished that we were ugly, and so being ugly was blessed. I smiled with all my teeth. This is called Every Drunk Wants to Die Sober. It's how we beat the game. Hazreti Ali, son-in-law of the Prophet, was martyred by a poisoned sword while saying his evening prayers, his final words, I am successful. I am successful. I want to carve it into my forehead. I've been cut into before. It barely hurt. I found my body to be hard and bloodless and glass. Still, for effect, I tore my shirt to tourniquets. Let me now be calm for one fucking second. Let me be open to revision. Eternity looms in the corner like a home invader saying, don't mind me. I'm just here to watch you nap. If you throw prayer beads at a ghost, they will cut through him soft, as a saber through silk. I finally have answers to the questions I taught my mother not to ask, but now she won't ask them. As a child, I was so tiny and sweet, she would tuck me in and say, "Mushbukradet, a mouse should eat you." I melted away that sweet like sugar in water, like once fresh honey dripping down a thigh. Today, I lean on habit and rarely unstrap my muzzle. It's hard to speak of something so gauche as ambition while the whole wheezing mosaic chips away. But let it be known, I do hope one day to be free of this body's dry wood. If living proves anything, it's that such astonishment is possible. The kite, loosed from its string, outpaces its shadow. An olive tree explodes into the night, dazzling even the sky. I don't understand the words I babble in home movies from Tehran, but I assume they were lovely. I have always been a tangle of tongue and pretty want. In Islam, there are prayers to return almost anything, even prayers to return faith. I have been going through book after book, pushing the sounds through my teeth. I will keep making these noises as long as deemed necessary until there's nothing left of me to forgive. Thanks. I'm just going to read one more poem and then maybe we can hug and talk and interact substantively out there. I mean, I think this is a substantive interaction, don't get me wrong. I do. Maybe you understand what I'm getting at. This is called Portrait of the Alcoholic Floating in Space with Severed Umbilicus. The umbilicus is the, when you're like on the space station floating out in space, the umbilicus is like the thing that connects you to the space station, that long tube. Portrait of the Alcoholic Floating in Space with Severed Umbilicus. In Fort Wayne, I drank the seniors, Old Milwaukee, Old Crow. In Indianapolis, I stopped. Now I regret every drink I never took. All around, coffee grounds and eggshells. This sweating, a mouthful of lime. As a boy, I stole a mint green bra from a laundromat, took it home to try on while my parents slept, filled its cups with the smallest turnips in our pantry. The underwire grew into me like a strangler fig. My blood roiled then as now. Back on Earth, frog spit is dripping down wild aloe spikes. Salmon are bullying their way upstream. There's a pond I leapt into once with a lonely blonde boy. When we scampered out, one of us was in love. I could not be held responsible for desire. He could not be held at all. I wonder where he is now. If he looked up, he might see me, a sparkling. I always hoped that when I died, I would know why. My brother will be so sad. He will tell his daughters I was better than I was. He will leave out my cruel drunk nights, the wet mattresses, my driving alone into cornfields, unsure whether I drive out. I wish he were here now. He could be here. This cave is big enough for everyone. Look at all the diamonds.